We have to put ourselves back into the swing of things, back to Daf Dalet in Maseches Tehillim. Let's just recap for a moment where we're up to. The Gemara was trying to derive from Psukim the sources for Isha Niknes B'Kesef Ishtav B'Biyah. So it took us a long time to figure out what the source for Kedusha Kesef was. Now the Gemara is trying to figure out what the source of Kedusha B'Biyah is. So of course, the best, simplest way is to find some kind of a Pasuk. For the Gemara, each and every time the Gemara discovers a Pasuk that may indicate a source of Kedusha, Gemara backtracks and says, wait a second, why do you need a pasuk for? Maybe we could figure it out on our own. Maybe we can use different midos, shatar and dreshes, particularly the mid of kal v'chomer, to derive a certain halacha. If we could use our own kal v'chomers, etc., to reach a certain conclusion, then why the need for a pasuk? So that's the same flow that we had in discussing Kedusha Kesef, that we're going to address Kedusha B as well. So take a look at the first of the Gemara Mekamos. We've seen the Gemara a little bit already in the previous segment. We'll get back into it for our purposes. The Gemara begins in Dalam Amaze, the first of Mar Mekomos, quoting a Braisa, Uba Allah, Malamish Nikes Babiya. The Torah says, Kikach ish ishovi Allah. So if I was reading the Pasuk, maybe I would have translated the Pasuk to mean, Kikach ish isha, you get married, whatever method you use, Kesh Ishtar, whatever it is. Uba Allah is describing after you're married, so then a couple has relations together. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what the Pasuk means. The Torah wouldn't bother telling us that. Why is that relevant to the discussion? That parsha is the parsha of get. The Torah is telling us, if a couple gets married and then they decide to no longer remain married, then etc. So when the Torah is introducing to us the parsha of Gittin, it's introducing by telling us the different potential methods of reaching kedusha in the first place. So you have to read the pasuk not that you had kicha and bia, but rather kicha chishisha, kama. Uva Allah is almost like lashon over Allah. That means either you did kicha or you did ba'ala. So namely had bia. So the Gemara saw in this word of Allah a source b'lamish nikkas b'bia. This is the source of the din d'oraisa that bia is one of the methods of kedushin. So ask the braisa on itself. Malo dinu, isn't it a kava chaymer? Couldn't I have figured it out on my own? So namely, why is there a need for a pasuk? What's the kava chaymer? Umay yevama she'ein niknes b'kesef. If I would try to marry my yevama, it's a person's brother died without any children, so Reuven would try to marry Shimon's brother's wife to effect yibum. If he would try to do it with kesef, it wouldn't work. Ein yevama niknes b'kesef. We spent 2 weeks talking about that before the break. Why that's so? But lemaisa, when all the dust settles, that's the truth. So a yevama cannot be acquired with kesef, but niknes b'bia. But she can be niknes b'bia. So zosha niknes b'kesef, a regular woman who can be acquired with kesef, we already learned that from kicha kicha, that was the previous braisa. And odin she niknes b'bia, isn't it more so that she can be niknes b'bia? So when all the dust settles, it was a great kal v'chomer, that if you think about it, the hierarchy, that a yevama is much harder to acquire. It's much harder to affect yibum than it is kedusha. Proof positive. Yibum cannot be affected with kesef, or shtar for that matter, whereas it can be affected with bia. Whereas a regular kedushin, which can be affected with kesef, how much more so should be able to be affected with bia? So that's a pretty solid kavachaymer. So the Gemara is back and forth and back and forth. Is that really a kavachaymer? Maybe Amma Ivriya disproves Gahar, Kashas from left field to potentially disqualify the kavachaymer. So finally, the Gemara concludes. It's 2 lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi concedes that this kavachomer is not a good kavachomer. What's wrong with it? Mishum deika lemeimar, because I could say, me'ikara de dina pircha. The original kavachomer that you wanted to bring from yevama to a regular woman is problematic. Me'echa kamaisis la, what's the source of your kavachomer? Me yevama, nah. Mali yevama shkein zukuka v'yomedes. Tama bezo she'ein zukuka v'yomedes. Yevama has something that a regular woman doesn't have. You thought your kavachomer was predicated on the assumption that, well, if it works for yevama, then it must work for a regular woman. So if bia works for yevama, it must work for a regular woman. No. Yevama has something that a regular woman doesn't have. Yevama has the magic word, zekuka v'yamedes. We could translate that initially, but obviously that's going to become our sugya. Zekuka v'yamedes, zekuka is lashon zika. I mean, she's stuck. She's already connected to the new husband, to the yevama, to the brother-in-law. So Yevama has that characteristic of Zekuka V'Yomedes that a regular woman does not have, and therefore the Kavachomer is no good. So since the Kavachom is no good, therefore we necessitate the Pasuk, which is exactly what the Brayis concludes. Taman Laima Uvi Ola. That's exactly why you need the Pasuk. Now when you go back to Pashas Kiseitzeh and you read the Chumash and it says Kiga Kishisha Uvi Ola, so you would have asked the question, I need the Torah to tell me Kiddush Biya. I could have figured that out on my own. I have a Kavachom, you have a whole Chagadja. So the Gemara says, no, you don't have a Kavachom. Your Kavachom is not a good Kavachom. Your Kavachom is flawed. And what ultimately ruins the Kavachom is this Svar of Mali Yavamish Gains Kukuv Yomendes. Therefore, necessitating the Pasuk will be Allah. So, Baruch Hashem, we can breathe a sigh of relief. We know the source for Kiddush Biya, Svar will be Allah. We know why the Torah needs a Pasuk, why we wouldn't have been able to figure it out based on the Kavachomer, because we all know that Yavama has that quality, that characteristic of Kukuv Yomendes. Of course, the question that now we have to raise is, well, what does that characteristic mean? What is it so special about the Kukuv Yomendes that somehow changes all the rules? Somehow that knocks out, that blows away Kavachomer. It's Kukuv Yomendes. So one can understand this Gemara one of two ways. One can understand this Gemara almost similar to many other Kavachomers that have almost gone the way of history. Very often the Gemara will quote a Kavachomer, well, if it's true in this case, then it must for sure be true in another case. And sometimes the Gemara will almost bring like a pircha, like from left field. The Gemara will say, no, I have a question against your Kavachomer. Just because you thought that A is more common than B, I'm going to show you a certain Chumr B has over A. That's a very common method in Chazal to destroy Kavachomers. The whole yisod of a Kavachomer is, A is greater than B, A is greater than B. If I could tap you on the shoulder and say, you think A is greater than B, but let me show you something in some quirked area of halacha, middle of nowhere, that B is greater than A, so that shows you. Then I no longer know for a fact that A is greater than B. So maybe that's all the Gemara is doing here also. Maybe all the Gemara is saying, you know, you're creating this hierarchy, you're trying to figure out what's at the top of the pyramid. Is a regular woman or a Yavama? Which is which? So you thought that a regular woman is greater. You thought she's more susceptible to Kiddushin. You thought it's easier to be Makadishar. So if Bia works for a Yavama, Kavachemir works for a regular woman. So I'm going to show you from left field some kind of a characteristic, some kind of a quirk that a Yavama has that an Isha doesn't have. And once I could show you, it doesn't matter whether the quirk is relevant or not, as long as it's present, as long as it's there, that's enough to disqualify the whole Kavachomer. That's one way of reading this Gemara. The advantage of reading the Gemara this way is that we wouldn't have to spend too much time figuring out what Zekuk of Emetis means, because, quite frankly, we don't really care what it means. As long as it's there, we don't really have to identify it, we don't really have to understand it. It exists. It's a characteristic. It's something that Yavam has that Isha doesn't have. Relevant, irrelevant, understandable, cover it. Doesn't matter. As long as it's there, there's something that a Yavam has and Isha doesn't have, that's enough to uproot the Kavachomer. So there was some Rishayim who learned the Gemara this way, but many other Rishayim did not. Many other Rishayim learned that when the Gemara says, Mali Yavamish Kens Kukuvi Amedris, we can't just say, okay, great, we found the Chumra, let's move on to the next Sugya. There's a reason for this. Zekukuvi Amedris is not just a pircha on the Kavachomer. Zekukuvi Amedris is the Svara that is responsible for the fact that a Yavam is nicknamed Spabiyah. That there's a rhyme and a reason why you do Yibum through Bia and not through anything else. And that rhyme and reason is couched in the terms of Kukuv Yomedes. And that characteristic of Kukuv Yomedes, whatever, we don't know what it means yet, but doesn't exist by a regular woman. And therefore, it makes a lot of sense that Bia shouldn't apply to a regular woman. So this way of reading the question of Kukuv Yomedes is not a question from left field. This is on target. This is exactly the heart and soul of the sugya, that you're trying to extrapolate. Bia should be effective from Yavama. Just as Bia works for Yavama, it should work for a regular woman. Stop. Doesn't make any sense. Bia works for Yavama for a very real reason. The reason is Kukuv Yomedes. And that consideration just doesn't exist. It's not present by a regular woman. Therefore, the extrapolation from Yavama to Isha is not effective. So those are two very, very different ways conceptually of reading Pshat in this Gemara.
It makes the original Kavachomer look very bad. That's
exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to make it look terrible. Because the more terrible it looks, the more they necessitate the Pasuk. That's exactly right. According to the first beer of the Gemara, Kavachomer is pretty good. You got an E for effort. You got a B minus on the Kavachomer. It wasn't so terrible. But just we have a kasha that knocks it out. According to this, you failed. You have an F minus, you failed. The Kavachomer is just... is irrelevant because of this concern of Zekuk of Yomedes. So assuming the second Pshat in the Gemara, what does it mean? What is that magic of Zekuk of Yomedes? What does the term mean? So So if you take a look at the fourth of the Rambam Kamos, so Tosfos, in that Sugya Nanam Beis, Tosfos quotes the name of the Re, what the Re thinks is the real Yisod, the real heart and soul of Zekuka V'Yomedes. But here the Re, Dachi Parach, she came Zekuka V'Yomedes Labia, Klomar. Whenever you see in a Risha the word Klomar, that's always a dead giveaway, that they're going to give you a pshat in the Gemara that wouldn't be your initial reaction to the words. Klomar means it's as if to say. If you were really saying what the literal taicha of the words of the Gemara is, you wouldn't have to say Klomar. But the Re is a Klomar. So it says the Re, Klomar. She'ikar mitzvasa lahokim la'achiv shem hilkach nakalo lahaknos bebiya yaisa be'isha. Says the Re, there's a very real logical reason why Yibam is done with Bia and not with Kesef Ashtar. What is the end game? What's the goal of Yibam? So says the Re, you open up a Poskim Pashas Kiseitz and see exactly what the goal is. The goal is, Lachim Lachim Shem, we want this couple to have a child, and we want the child to be Nikra, whatever that means, not literally to be called the same name as Al Shem Lachim Ameis, but to take over for the Achiv Ameis. Ramban, we spoke with the Ramban Pashas Bayeshev, the Neshama of the Achiv Ameis comes back, whatever, maybe Nigla Be Minista, whatever Yibum's goal is all about. There's no question that Yibum is goal-oriented. The goal of Yibum is to have a child. Hakim l'achim shem. The Torah says it 20 times in the pasuk. So comes the Re and says, since the whole goal of Yibum is l'achim l'achim shem, it makes a lot of sense that the mechanism for Yibum is that very process that will potentially lead to l'achim shem, i.e. through Bia. You're going to give her a ring? That's the goal of Yibum? What's that going to accomplish? You're going to write her a shtar? Whoop-de-doo. Not going to get anywhere. Couple has Bia, then there's a fighting chance, understanding chance that they may end up having a child together. So therefore, says the Re, that's what Zekuka V'Yomedes means. Masha'enke, when it comes to a regular woman, we wouldn't say that the absolute goal of getting married is to have children. It's an important goal. It's definitely an aspect of marriage. The Rambam opens up a chazishas by saying, mitzvah essay, you know, Lisa Ishik, the lahafros, lahabros, we're not minimizing the significance of children. But marriage, a regular marriage, almost is as a life in and of itself. So that existence, that relationship of Tovias, Ogufadu, Ezer Kenegdo, so the Torah says that can be accomplished through Kesef, that can be accomplished through Shtar. That's okay. That's other methods are acceptable. B is not the end all. When it comes to Yibum, everything is revolving around Hakim Lachiv Shem. Therefore, Bia is absolutely a necessity. So that's how the relearned pshat in this Gemara, this Kasha, the Gemara case, Kukav Yomedes. Because of the Kukav Yomedes, because they have different end games, therefore we cannot extrapolate the need for Bia by Yavama and carry it over to Bia by a regular woman. The question is, what exactly are the parameters of what the Re just told us? What the Re just told us now is, everybody knows that we are encouraging this couple who are doing Yibum, they should try to have children. That's clearly the goal. We have to always be careful when you speak about almost goals in halacha, when you speak about mitzvahs, you speak about almost like tamei mitzvahs, you have to always be very, very careful just how serious you're taking tamei mitzvahs and putting them into the ma'aseh mitzvah itself. Whenever I say shir in yeshivas, I always tell the bachurim, in our shul in our Torah, those davening in our shul can appreciate it, that you have to always ask yourself, is this a Shabbos morning drasha or is this a Shabbos afternoon shiur? That means I speak different languages when I'm talking Shabbos morning. Shabbos morning is a drasha. So sometimes I'll take a mitzvah that appears in the parsha and I'll give a whole drasha about Korban Pesach and about this and what the Musar Haskel and what the ethical, moral, religious dimensions and what we should walk away with and how this affects our lives today as Jews in Tav Shinai. That's one. Then between Shabbos and Minchah Ma'ariv, so I give a shiur. So I'll talk about what's the nature of the din of shviras etzem bePesach. Is it this? Is it that? I'm talking about the same mitzvah, but I'm talking mamash legamri, a different language. I have to be careful when I say that to the bachur. I say, is this a Shabbos morning or is this a between Minchah Ma'ariv shiur? So a lot of shuls forget between Minchah Ma'ariv and Shal Shudas Torah. So sometimes it's more drushy than the Shabbos morning drushy. You have to know where you're coming from. But in the model of our shul and our Torah, so the model I think is correct. So the fact that Yibum is goal-oriented to having children, if I saw this in a Sefer HaChinuch, I would have no qualms. If I saw this in Rav Shem Shofal Hirsch's Parish and Chumash, I would have no problems. If I saw this in somebody who's given a Shabbos morning, you know, drush about Pashas Kiseitzeh and trying to encourage people to have children, okay. But I'm seeing this in a Tosfos and Daled Amud Beis Kedushin, where the Re is talking heavy-duty halacha. Do you need a pasuk? Do you not need a pasuk? Is it a kavachomer? Not a kavachomer? And the Re is almost superimposing a almost a tama mitzvah into the very essence, the very lomdus of the mitzvah itself. That the apidin, Bia makes sense by Yibum because of this quote unquote reason. What right does the Ri have to do that? Well, the Pasuk says it. I mean, this is not, you know, there are Tamei mitzvahs, there are Tamei mitzvahs. Sometimes, you know, they have Tamei mitzvahs that the Pasuk doesn't say why you do this. So the Rambam and Maravuchim will give you a whole theory why you do it. The Sefer Kuzar will give you another theory. Rav Shimon Shmuel Halevi will give you a third theory. The Ksava Kabbalah will give you a fourth. Everyone's going to give you a different theory as to why you do the mitzvahs. They're all beautiful. El Velodivilikim Chaim. The Kadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs is multifaceted. The significance and the lessons we can derive from all of them. But at the end of the day, the Torah doesn't say any of them. So at the end of the day, they're our way of understanding. We're using our seichel, we're using our understanding of Hashkafas HaTorah to try to understand a little bit more, a little bit deeper, like L'mashal, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shofar, that Tkiyah Shofar is Gzeiras HaKosef. So you have to blow Shofar whether you understand the reading or not. It's a mitzvah to blow Shofar. But the Rambam writes, Remez Yesh B'davar. There's a hint that the Shofar is supposed to wake you up. Uri Sheni Mishnaschem. Now, does it say that in the Chumash? It doesn't say that. The Torah just says, Yom Tru Yelochem. But the Rambam understood the Hashkafas HaTorah. He says, well, wait a second. It's the Yom HaDin. So we have a tradition that Alf Tishrei, the Olam is Nidom. So it's just coincidental that we're blowing Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Why don't we blow Shofar on, what's today? Dal Shvat, Hey Shvat, whatever day Shvat it is. Why don't we blow Shofar in the middle of Chodesh Shvat? So why does the Torah say to blow it on Alef Tishrei? It must be that it has something to do with Yom HaDin. So what does it have to do with Yom HaDin? So the Ram says, well, it's Yom HaDin. It's a time, obviously, of Din V'Cheshbon. It's a time to be Chazor B'Tshuva. It must be that the Shofar is some kind of a vehicle of Chazor B'Tshuva. Does that affect Lamaisa, what the Trua sounds like? Absolutely not. The Trua is blown, whatever the Trua is supposed to be, it's supposed to be, whether it wakes up, doesn't, whether it's, nobody would say, well, that Trua doesn't sound like my alarm clock, so therefore I have to change the Trua. No, that's mixing the rushes of Hashkofa with Halachas. So here, the Ri is a little bit more comfortable doing this, because it does say it in the Chumash, it says it more than once, Lachim Lachim Shem. But we have to take a step back and analyze the Ri and say, is that really true? Even though it does speak in the Chumash a little bit about Lachim Lachim Shem, is that really true in terms of halacha? Does the ability of Akam Hashem, that characteristic of Akam Hashem to bring children out of this yibum, is that really a halachic concept? Is that something that really has basis in halacha? That's going to affect the authenticity, the validity of the Kavah Chaymer, not? So we have to take the reader task on this and learn a little bit of sugyas and Maseches Yevamos to see, is it really true? So at first glance, there are two halachas that seem to give a lot of credibility to the Ri's theory. There is a din that, let's say, the man, the Yavam, is not able to have children. He's not able to have children because he's a sris in halacha. He has some kind of a physical abnormality that is just impossible. He doesn't have the right kalim. His body is not structured properly to be able to produce a child. So that's what's called a sris. So there's no yibum with a sris. There's no yibum, there's no chalitza, there's nothing. There's no zika whatsoever. If the only brother around is a sris, the woman goes free. She doesn't even need chalitza. What if the Yavama is an islandess? She's the parallel in a woman's version. She has some kind of a structural abnormalities in her body. She never developed properly, and she's never ever going to have children. Not because of some kind of a quirk. She has some kind of hormonal imbalance. There's something really fundamentally wrong that she's never ever going to be able to have children. It's impossible for her to have children. So the Mishnah says in the Maseches Yavamos, and there's no yibum, there's no chalitza, there's nothing. What do those two halachas seem to indicate? That the Ri is right, that the theory of the Ri is correct. It's not just right in Hashkof, it's right in halacha also. That the whole goal of Yibum is child-oriented. If it's impossible to reach the point of having a child, then there's not going to be any Yibum Chalitza to speak of. If there's no Yibum, no Chalitza, then there's no Zika, then there's no Isser of Yivam Lashuk as well. Though notwithstanding those two halachas that seem to support the Ri's theory, there is a sugya Maseches Yevamos that throws a very, very serious question mark onto the Ri's theory. So let's take a look. Take a look at the fifth of the Maamar Kamos. We're going to be talking a lot about this, Gemara, many, many different times in Maseches Kedusha. The sugya keeps on coming back. The Gemara comments on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Maseches Yevamos that if an almana falls for Yibum to a Kohen Gadol, every Yivam is always by definition an almana. So if she falls for Yibum to a Kohen Gadol, say, Reuven Katz was married to Plonis, and then Reuven Katz dies, and now Shimon Katz is the Yavam, and Shimon Katz happens to be the Kohen Gadol also. So now what's the din? So now we have a conflict of interest. On the one hand, we'd love to do Yibum. On the other hand, How's he? He's a Kohen Gadol. Torah says Amana Grusha. He's not allowed to marry an Amana. So can we permit Yibum at the expense of violating the Yisra of Amana Kohen Gadol? Or do we say no? That Amana Kohen Gadol ultimately supersedes the mitzvah of Yibum. So the Mishnah says explicitly Amana Kohen Gadol. There's no Yibum. Mishnah says Chalitza. Yeah, but there's no Yibum. So the Gemara wants to know why is that so? Let's analyze that. Yeah, Chalitza have to. Yes. Let's add. Why is there no Yibum? So the Gemara says this follows. Pasuk Katani. When the Mishnah says that there's no Yibum, so the Mishnah says, Lo Shtam in a Nesuin, Velo Shtam in a Erisin. The Mishnah does not differentiate between whether she's an Almanim in a Nesuin, namely she was married already for the last 20 years to Reuven, or whether she just had Kedushin with Reuven, they never even consummated the marriage. Why does that make a difference? It makes all the difference in the world. Bishlamim in a Nesuin, if she's an almana min ha-nisuin, so there are two different halachic reasons why the new brother, Shimon, the Kohen Gadol, cannot marry her. Why? Because it's an asei velo sasei. For Shimon to marry an almana of someone who is an almana min ha-nisuin, so she's asura two times over. She's asura because she's an almana. She's asura because she's not a besula. The Torah says, ki besula mi'am av yikachisha. If a Kohen Gadol marries a non-besula, even though she's not an almana, or for that matter, she's not a grusha, a woman had be out of marriage, out of wedlock. Okay, not a good thing, but that doesn't disqualify her to a Kohen. It doesn't, it shouldn't even theoretically disqualify her to a Kohen Gadol. She's not an Amana, she's not a Grusha. What do you want from her? You're right, but she's still a Asura because she's not Kim Besula Miyama Vikachisha. So there's an Isser Asay called Besula Vlo Ba'ula. If a Kohen Gadol marries any girl who was already a pre-existing Ba'ula, that's a problem, not a law, but it's an essay in the Torah, it's an Isser Asay. So comes the girl, makes the calculate, makes the cheshbon. If the woman is an almanim and a nesuin, then I understand there are two distinct problems. It's an asei velo sasei. If it ain't asei, docha lo sasei v'yasei. And the asei, the mitzvah sasei of yibum, cannot override both the asei and the lo sasei of almanim l'kohen gadol and bul l'kohen gadol. We have a klal in that locha, asei docha lo sasei. We have a positive mitzvah and a prohibition come together. So then the general rule is, asei docha lo sasei. But the Gemara says in Yevamos, one of the exceptions to that rule is that ein asei docha asei velos asei. If something is asur for two reasons, if it's asur for both being an isur los asei as well as being asur b'taras asei, then asei docha los asei falls by the wayside. Ein asei docha asei velos. That's a klal gadol in halacha. So comes the Gemara and says, if she's an almanim in a erisin, so I have a problem. If she's an almanim in a erisin, lo sase gredu. It's only a lo sase. You have a yes if you have a lo sase. Let the mitzvah sase of Yibum override the lo sase of an almanah. So the Gemara's calculation is as follows. There are two different scenarios of Reuven's wife who falls for Yibum to Shimon. If Reuven was married for 20 years to her, so then she's an almanah, so she's a surah b'tar eslav. He's also not a basula. So you have two issues. If she was only had kiddush with him for a week, they never had beit together, then yes, she's still an amana. Amana and Eris is still a full-fledged amana, but she's not a ba'ula. So in the realm of Hilchos Yibum, we should say, asei docha lo sasei. That's the Gemara's presentation. It's going to take the Gemara a long time, a whole amba, to figure out what the answer to that kasha is, but we're not up to that answer yet. We're still focusing on the kasha. So the Gemara was assuming that there's a very, very real possibility. Let's apply a say docha lo sasei. The Gemara is going to pull out of its hat very, very technical reasons why not. So comes Tosfos and asks the kasha, and six of the Maamakamos says, wait a second. How is this a say docha lo sasei? How could you fulfill Yibum with what's being told of you to do here? It says Tosfos, Hikshi Riva, preparing Beis the Sanhedrin. The cave and the Ein Isha Misaberes Bebir Rishona, Kedyom Beso Preg Da'ar Achim, Hech Tisyabe. The Bebiya Rishona, Leika, come a shame, says, tell us, wait a second, you want to be matir, asei docha lo sasei, of Yibum? How many times is this couple going to have relations? So Tosfos is already cheating, they read quite at the end of the Gemara, that says, the whole discussion in our Gemara is, can we be matir one Bia? That's it. Afterwards, we're going to force them to get divorced. They cannot possibly remain married because all subsequent biyas are not mitzvahs Yibum anymore. Yibum is only biyah rishona. All subsequent biyas are vayter and isra of Amon HaKohen Gadol. So the only discussion, hakol mikol kol, in this whole sugya was, let them do Yibum once, they'll fulfill the mitzvah, and then he'll give her a get. That was the Gemara's whole kasha. Again, at the end of the day, we don't do that. But that was the Gemara's lamda shashayla. Why don't we do that? So comes the Rivat, makes the cheshes. Wait a second. You want to be matir the Yisur of Almana, based on the mitzvah Yibum, Esei Dochel also say, to be Mata Bia Rishona, says the Riva, tell me the truth, is she going to become pregnant? Never going to become pregnant. Why? She's a Besula. The Gemara tells us, Ein Nisha Besabas would be a Rishona. Okay. We're not going to discuss medically, not medically, but that. The Gemara makes that as a statement. Ain't Isha Misabesh be a Rishayna. So comes to us and says, wait a second. If Ain't Isha Misabesh is never going to become pregnant from this Bia, so you are sanctioning a Bias Yibum, you're calling it Yibum, you're being matu, and this is the Raisa of Esed Lachalosa, say, of Amar Lekoen Gadol, hiding behind, calling something Mitzvah Yibum. What's from Mitzvah Yibum? Where's the Mitzvah Yibum? Says Taisus, how could that possibly be a Mitzvah Yibum? It's lacking in the ability of a Kama Shem. So what's Munach in the Kusha, in this Kasha of the Riva? The Riva obviously had his eye on the two Gemaras that we quoted before. There's no Yibum for a Siris, and there's no Yibum for an Islandis. Why not? It must be, because Yibum that can't result in Hakama Shem is not Yibum. So ask the Riva, just as Yibum that can't result in Hakama Shem of Sris and Islandis is not a Yibum, so too a Yibum that can't result in Hakama Shem because of its Bia Rishona of a Besula should also not be called a Yibum. So what's the Gemara? What was the Gemara's cash? Why are we spending a time for an Amud in Maseches Yevamah Daf Chav trying to figure out in the hair external tangential reasons why we can't do Yibum in a Amud Lekohen Gadol? It's obvious because it's not going to be Yibum anyway because she's a Besula. So Ein Ish Mesebesh would be a Rishona. So interestingly enough, the Re is the one who's going to solve this problem. I say interestingly because he was the Taisus in condition of Dalit. The Emiri, the low kasha meeting. So says the Re, no, it's not such a kasha. Why? The loba inan shetei ruyel hakam hashem. Says Taisus, hakam hashem? Who said hakam hashem is so important? Who said it's important? I said it in Dalit on the base, it's important. Says the Re, hakam hashem is not the end all. That's not what's calling the shots here. So now the Re is going to have to really, really work this through because what do you mean? Forget about what he wrote in Kedushin Avdala. What do you mean Hakam Hashem is not important? Sris and Islandis. So let's do it to the Re says. The Yemiri. The Lo Kashamidi. The Lo Ba'in Shtei Ruel Hakam Hashem. Ela Shehayavama Vahayavam Yehuru Uyin Lakam Hashem. Veloma Ma'atinan Ela Islandis Vesris She'enan Ru'uyin Leilad Lo Oilam. So comes the Re and says, not all lack of Hakam Hashem are created equal. There's a lack of Hakam Hashem that's permanent, and there's a lack of Hakam Hashem that's temporary. An Islandis and a Sris are never going to get healed, if you derech HaTeva. So they are Gavras who are Mufka from the din of Hakam Hashem. They're not going to have children. For them, there's no Yibum. Be a Rishayna with a Besula. True, we're not going to let you have Bia Shnir. That's true. But you can't say about the Bia Rishayna, these are people who can never ever come ashamed. Never come ashamed. If we would let them have a second time around, they would never come ashamed. So the fact that this Bia on pure technical grounds is not royal like come ashamed, says the Re, that doesn't bother me. So you need a Gavra who could potentially, at some later point in life, create a come ashamed. That's all that's necessary. Because between me and you, says the Re, is any given Bia going to result in children? Of Dafka. The odds are not in their favor. Most of the time, Bia doesn't result in children. So says the Re, it's not that the Torah says only if children comes out of mitzvah. That's not true. It has to be a type of a Bia that in theory can bring children. What's called in theory bringing children? If a Gavra is Mufka, is the Shris and Alanis, thus is Nishkein Roy Lecham Hashem. If it's a Bia Rishona, Bibisula, that you can have a second Bia a little shortly afterwards, that'll bring about children. So then we don't declare, we don't look at Bia Rishona and Bibisula and say, oh, that's Nishkein Yibum. So the Re is walking a tightrope over here. And let's not forget, this is the Re, who is a very big believer in Hakam Hashem, who's now whittling away, who's not chipping away at what Hakam Hashem really is all about. So hopefully, Mirat Hashem, tomorrow we have to go back to this Taisus and get a little bit more as to what is Hakam Hashem, what's not, and ultimately we have to relate it back to Hashem.